Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to go right into our message today. I'm going to invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and we actually came off a study out of the book of Hebrews. We just came out of James, okay? Right before that, we were in Hebrews, and I just felt like there was something that the Lord wanted us to come back to. For those of you that don't know, we are in kind of a process of transition. Our name our name is being changed from Chapel Valley Church to Dwelling House Church. And that's straight out of Psalms chapter 27, that one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, to gaze upon his beauty, to inquire in his temple. And I have such a strong sense that this is the season that we are now stepping into, that there is an opportunity, and I believe it's the call to the church, and I believe it's our church, but really the church as a whole, that there is now a time that we find ourselves in this world, and that we are to be people who bring worship, pure worship, holy worship to the Lord. And I want to talk a little bit today about being a people of his presence. You know, we're talking about Dwelling House Church, and we've been praying and we've been talking, and there's three things that the Lord has been highlighting to me about Dwelling House Church. Number one, that this would be a house of prayer. Everybody say amen. Number two, that this would be a house of presence. Somebody say amen. And number three, that this would be a house for people. Somebody say amen. And so the Lord's going to do mighty things. And so we don't want to go into this. We're having this official launch coming up. I believe it's September 14th. Yeah, I always want to say 13th because that is the actual anniversary of when the church began. That was September 13th was when Susie and I were installed as the senior pastors. We're actually celebrating 10 years this year as the senior pastor. Yep. I can't believe that that's gone by that fast. I think that's just how it is. And but no, it is September 14th will be the official launch of Dwelling House Church. So you'll see some new signs. You're going to see some adjustments to the website. The Lord is good. Amen. But I want to talk about being a people of presence, that this would be a house of presence. And I want to make clear just what I believe that the Lord is actually inviting us into. You know, we're gonna get there in a moment, but how many of you know the presence of the Lord isn't something to be taken lightly? Amen. And oftentimes we can miss the presence of the Lord. The Lord can be moving, but because our heart isn't positioned, we miss it. Maybe our heart isn't positioned because we're just distracted, right? How many of you got stuff going on? And you're thinking about things and you have concerns, you have cares. Maybe you're just thinking about what you're going to be doing, your afternoon plans, right? Which it's a rainy day, so maybe we're going to be a little bit more focused today. But it could also be just a hard heart. Maybe there's sin that's in your life that has been unchecked. And you haven't actually given that to the Lord. You've not confessed those things. And now there's this kind of this block or this wall that doesn't need to be there, by the way. Somebody say amen. But because we don't actually bring it to the Lord, it's this undealt wall that limits us from encountering the presence of the Lord. Or, you know, maybe it's just pride and there's just something in our heart that just, I don't feel like it, and so I'm not going to do it. Or we say things like, well, that's just not my style. You know, Pastor Jay's a little crazy up there. He just starts singing all these random words. Like, what is he doing? I don't want to, right? We can say it's style, or we can do our best to biblically and appropriately bring our worship to the Lord and trust that he's going to continue to teach us how to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? Are we good? I want us to recognize how important it is to spend time in the presence of the Lord. But not only do we come into the presence of the Lord here at church, how many of you know we are to regularly enter into the presence of the Lord? And so we're going to talk about that, and I want to start at Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 18. And let's do this. Can we read out loud these six verses, starting at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18, and we're going to have this scripture up on screen so you can follow along up there. We're reading out of the New King James Version. But let's read this together out loud. Ready, go. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded, and if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Amen. Can we just lift our hands to the Lord? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, teach us, Lord. You said, Lord, that you will teach us all things. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to every person here. Lord, that we would not leave the same, but Lord, that we would receive your truth. Lord, that your word is power. Lord, your word is truth. And so, Lord, we put our trust in you today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. And so we see here, we see this portion of scripture. And it's talking about that it not only speaks to the holiness and the power of God, it also speaks to the nearness of God, that he is available. Amen. And I want us to just talk a little bit about the nearness of God. That God is not intending to be, you know, a far off God, but that because of Jesus, we now have access into the presence of God to be near to him, right? And we're getting this picture starting at verse 18. We see that there is this contrast that is being made between Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. And how in the Old Testament there was this mountain called Mount Sinai where there was this fearful and trembling encounter with the Lord Almighty. It was so powerful that the people couldn't bear to look. They begged to not even hear what God was speaking because they couldn't contain it. They couldn't handle it. And we see this contrast between this physical mountain that was in the desert called Mount Sinai, where God gave the people the Ten Commandments and the Old Testament law about how to walk with him, how to be with him. And then we also see this comparison between Mount Zion, which speaks to our present reality, or a spiritual mountain, which represents the presence of God, the kingdom of God, and the new covenant blessings that we have in Christ. And so there's this comparison that is being made between Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. Mount Sinai is representing the old covenant. And there was the law, there was fear there, there was this trembling, right? Mount Sinai was physical and touchable. It was a real earthly mountain. But Mount Zion, which represents new covenant, grace, and joy, it is a heavenly and spiritual mountain. It's the city of the living God, a heavenly Jerusalem. Mount Sinai is marked by terror and judgment, fire, darkness, storm, trumpet, and fearful voice. Mount Zion is marked by joy and celebration, where there's angels and joyful assembly and the church is gathered. Mount Sinai was unapproachable. In other words, even the animals couldn't touch it without dying. Moses himself trembled as he came to the mountain. Mount Zion is accessible through Jesus, which is open fellowship with God made possible by the mediator and his blood. And so verse 18 says, you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it, they begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. They could not endure what was being commanded. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I'm exceedingly afraid and trembling. You see, when it's talking about Mount Sinai, it's referring to this really unforgettable scene in Exodus chapter 19. And I would encourage you maybe later today, go read Exodus chapter 19. But there's a scene in Exodus 19 where God wanted to reveal himself to his people. They had been in slavery and bondage for over 400 years in Egypt. And through miracles and signs and wonders, he brought them out and he delivered his people. And what's the first thing that God wants to do? He doesn't wait till they get to the promised land. The first thing that God wants to do is, I want to be with you. I want you to see me. I want to reveal myself to you. How many of you know that's the heart of God? Amen. But because there was sin, because there was this darkness, because the blood of Jesus had not yet been offered to bring righteousness and holiness to our spirits, because there was this barrier, there was this unforgettable scene where there's millions of Israelites. People, the historians believe there was about 3.5 million Israelites at this time at the Mount Sinai, gathered around Mount Sinai. Quite the crowd. And there's all these people, and they had to set boundaries around the mountain. And they set boundaries to ensure that they didn't get too close, because the holiness of God was so pure that if they touched the mountain, they would die. And it even says that even if an animal touched the mountain, it would die, because it was such a pure holiness of God, it would have destroyed them. And so the people, to just be able to get a glimpse, just to hear the voice, God said, I want you to consecrate yourself. What does that mean? God's saying, I want you to prepare yourself. I'm a holy God. I want you to see me. I want to reveal myself to you. But if I just show up as you are, it will destroy you. And so I need you to prepare yourself. I need you to wash yourself. I need you to cleanse off the filth and the gross. And we need to make offering and sacrifice. And I need you to prepare, because I'm going to show myself to you. What an awesome moment. You know, we would think like, oh man, this is going to be so exciting, right? And it says that the Lord, he came down to Mount Sinai. And when he came down, there was lightning. Everybody say lightning. There was lightning and thunder and power. And there's this marvel in a thick cloud. And there's this marvelous spectacle. And then there was all of a sudden, there's the sound of a trumpet. And it was a trumpet that wasn't blown by man. It was a trumpet that was probably blown by the angels. Because how many of you know worship surrounds him wherever he goes? And so this trumpet began to sound, and I just remember being young. I remember this moment, and I think we lived near one of those tornado sirens. And I remember we were in an apartment, and I remember that thing being so loud. And you know how it's this constant blow. And I kind of am like, well, you know, I'm sure it was even mightier than that. But I remember being young and being scared, like, what is going on? And this is what was the scene. Power, lightning, thundering, a thick cloud, and a trumpet that was blaring out loud. And it says, Moses spoke, God answered and spoke from Mount Sinai, giving the Old Testament, the covenant and the Old Testament law. And he was saying, I don't want this just to be a moment. Look, I want you to know how to walk with me, how to be people in my presence. Now, you would think that this would be an awesome time in the presence of the Lord, but look, verse 19 says, the sound of the trumpet, the voice of words, it was so much so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. I mean, what is that? That the word is being spoken. It is so pure. It is so perfect that it just breaks every part of who you are. And they could not bear. They begged, please stop speaking. Stop. We can't handle this. Now, you would think that after a powerful encounter like this, how many of you would say, I've encountered the presence of the Lord before? Like, you've had a moment in his presence, right? And it's awesome and it's wonderful. It changes you. But you would think that after a powerful moment like this with the Lord, a powerful time in his presence, you would never sin again, right? When you saw the reality of the glory of the Lord, you would be like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna do everything I can to never sin again. I'm not gonna lie, I'm not gonna steal, everything that God said, I'm gonna make sure I'm gonna do. But how many of you know it was not less than 30 days later, they crafted a golden calf, and they said, this is the God who delivered us out of Egypt. How many of you know it's not fear that brings salvation? It's love that brings us to salvation. You see, we're not scared into holiness. We're loved into holiness. And there's no greater form of love than what Jesus did for us on the cross. Scripture says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And so consider this. Less than a month after this dramatic revelation of God, they crafted a golden calf and they said, this is our God who brought us out of Egypt. You see, this experience, this powerful moment in the presence of God, it brought them to a holy reverence for about 30 days. About 30 days is all it took. And rather than a lifetime of awe and wonder and holiness and sanctification. Now, let's look at this other mountain in verse 22. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion. Everybody look at the person next to you and say, this is where we're going. Come on, look at the person next to you and say, this is where we're going. And then look at the person that you ignored and tell that person, hey, this is where we're going, right? It says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. There's so much here. In other words, we don't need to come to that earthly mountain anymore. We're no longer different, just distant observers. The Lord is calling us to be people who are intimate worshipers. And the mountain that we now come to is a mountain where the angels are gathered, where Jesus, the mediator, the judge of all, is enthroned in glory, and where is this powerful moment, this powerful presence of God that we are being invited into. You see, we aren't to live in an earthly place. We are to live in a spiritual reality. Somebody say amen. And that reality isn't just heaven and eternity once we die. This heaven or Mount Zion is available to us today. How many of you know this mountain, this presence of the Lord is something that we can experience right here on earth? Amen. And so we aren't about the earthly mountain. No, we live in a different place. We're not just distant observers. We're intimate worshipers. We're no longer living in fear of God, but we are being sanctified by his perfect love that continues to draw us to him. You know, this is a reaffirmation of what the author of Hebrews wrote in chapter 4, verse 6, where it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How many of you know this is the invitation that the Lord is giving to the church, to his bride? Come boldly. Come boldly. Enter in by the blood of the Lamb. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Why? Because that is where you will find what you need. We're not just to be spectators of God's glory. We're to be participants in his kingdom. So how do we step into this reality? I want to share something that I believe that the Lord is offering to us, because here's the reality. We can say this is dwelling house. This is a house of presence. But if we are only encountering the Lord in our corporate gatherings, we are so missing out on this holy mountain, this new reality that's been made available to us. And I want to look at a part of the Sermon on the Mount out of Matthew chapter 6. Starting at verse 6, Jesus is speaking. And he says, but you, everybody say you, Yeah, everybody say me. When you pray, go into your room. And when you shut your door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place. And your Father who sees in secret, he'll reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, because they think they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so Jesus is teaching and he's speaking to us about prayer. He says this in verse 6, but you, when you pray. So the question is not if you pray. The expectation is when you pray, let it look something like this. Go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Now, Jesus isn't saying the only place that we can pray is in our bedroom, but what he was attacking was this desire to look spiritual, to look more holy than you are, to try to be somebody, to try to have a status, to try to make yourself someone. Jesus was attacking this, and he's saying, listen, there's two locations that we're talking about here. There is number one, your room. Everybody say your room. That is a place here on earth. But number two, there's this place called the secret place. Everybody say the secret place. That our Father is not in the room. He's in a different and distinct location. And so there's these two rooms that Jesus is talking about. And he says in verse 9, he says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Now, I want us to notice, Jesus didn't say, I want you to use these exact words. And I've said this before. I do pray this prayer almost every day. Our Father who art in heaven, right? I do pray that, but it's not with a vain repetition. I think sometimes, you know, maybe you've seen a movie, right? And they're just at something bad is about to happen, and what are they doing? They're saying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Like they're just kind of spitting it out, right? Like it's some gonna be some magic behind it. But how many of you know our prayers aren't effective if our heart isn't in it? And if our heart's not in it, there's no faith. There's nothing there. They're empty, right? But there's he says, in this manner, pray. Jesus is saying, listen, there is a certain manner, a certain way that you can pray that taps right into the heart of God the Father. There is a way to approach him. There's a way to come to him and for your prayers to be effective. And Jesus is giving us this example. He says, therefore, in this manner, pray. And notice how he starts. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The very first thing that Jesus does when he comes to prayer is he says this, when you pray, look to him and say, Father, you are holy. In other words, acknowledge who he is. I think sometimes when we come to pray, we treat God more like a genie in the bottle where we just say, Lord, I need, I need, I need, I want, I want, I want. But that doesn't really capture the heart of the Father because he already knows what you need. He already knows what you want, but he's not just after, you know, being someone that can come in the trouble and then you forget about him. He wants your heart, amen? And so the way that we bring our heart to the Lord is through our worship to the Lord. So when you pray, when we gather together, why do we start with our worship? Because that should always be our starting point. Understanding, God, this is who you are. Lord, my mind has wandered. I've been distracted. Lord, I've gotten off. I'm wanting the wrong things. I'm doing the wrong things. I'm desiring the wrong things. But Lord, when I start declaring who you are, there's something about my heart that shifts and gets back into place. And so Jesus says, when you pray, pray in this manner, our Father in heaven. Notice, acknowledging where he is. Hallowed be your name. Now that word hallowed means holy, adored, blessed, lifted up, distinct is your name. And so the way that we come to the Father is through our worship. It's through praising and honoring him. Amen. He says this, number one, your kingdom come. Now, we were just talking about these two locations. There's the earthly mountain, and then there's this heavenly mountain, and that is what the Lord Jesus has given us access into, is this heavenly mountain. And it says, your kingdom come. Generally, those three words get swallowed up into your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And in our minds, it kind of just gets jumbled together. And really, it just becomes us saying, Lord, do your will here on earth. But really, it is, number one, your kingdom come. And then, your will be done. That there's these two moments, that there's these multiple opportunities. And so Jesus is talking about us entering a room here on earth by, and we're praying and we're seeking the Lord. And here's Father God. He's sitting on a throne in the throne room of heaven in the secret place. And if you pray in this manner, declaring who God is, one of the things that you can pray is say, Lord, Father, your kingdom come. What does that mean? Let your kingdom, your righteous rule, your will, who you are, your power, Lord, let it be present here in my life today. How many of you know a kingdom has a king? Amen? And what do kings sit on? A throne. And I want to show you that when we come into prayer, and we begin to praise and worship appropriately, we not only enter a room here on earth, but we can literally enter into the secret place, right into the throne room of God, and we can say, Lord, your kingdom come. And so Jesus is saying, won't you pray this way? Won't you pray like this? The Apostle John, he had an experience like this where he visually saw and captured in Scripture the throne room of heaven. I want us to look at this out of Revelation chapter 4. And I think something that, you know, before we read this, the book of Revelation is not just a book about the end times. The reason it is called the Revelation, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That this is who he is. And I want us to get a picture of the environment and what is happening in the throne room of God. Starting in Revelation chapter 4, starting at verse 1, I'm sorry. And this is John writing. He says, after these things, I looked and behold a door. Everybody say a door. I saw a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here. So I want us to notice that as John is receiving this revelation, John is here on earth, and he can see this door, and there's, once again, we can see that there is this elimination between our place here on earth and this place that is in heaven. He says, he saw a door, and I heard, what I heard was like a trumpet speaking, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately, I was in the Spirit. Everybody say the Spirit. So, how can we engage right here on earth with the throne room of God? Everybody say, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Immediately, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne. What did John see? What did John see? A throne. And behold, a throne set in heaven, and one, talking about Jesus, one sat on the throne, and he who sat there was like a jasper and sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald, and around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes. And they had crowns of gold on their head. And from the throne, notice, listen closely, from the throne proceeded lightning, thundering, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And notice, they do not rest, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever, everybody say whenever. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Can we say thank you, Jesus? We see in Revelation 4, there's this intense atmosphere of worship around the throne. There's power and lightning and thundering. And as the angels, these creatures, these powerful creatures that we can't even really even hardly visualize in our head, but these angelic beings are in this atmosphere and they're crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And every time they cried out, the elders would fall down on their face and they would cast their crowns, representing all of their accomplishments, everything they had, everything that they've done, all the good, everything. They threw it down and they too began to sing, "Holy, holy, holy." And there was this back and forth. There's this back and forth that is happening in the throne room right now. There's this atmosphere of worship. And it's very important for us to understand that in the throne room of God is an atmosphere of praise and worship. There's another example or revelation of what is happening in the throne room out of the book of Isaiah. This was written 700 years before John would have this vision of the throne room. Look at what Isaiah says in chapter 6, verse 1. He says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne." On a what? On a throne. "He was high and lifted up, and the train of his robe, it filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim." This is the angels, those creatures. "One had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" Now notice verse 4. "And the posts of the door," everybody say the door. What did John see when he had his revelation? A door. John was here on earth. He looks and there's this door, and through the door is the throne room of God. And here is Isaiah 700 years earlier. There is this door, the posts of the door. They were what? "Shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the whole house was filled with smoke." So verse 4 says the posts of the door were shaken. How many of you remember Revelation 4? We see that the door was open. John goes through the door and saw the throne room of God. Here, Isaiah is saying, "I saw these creatures." They're singing, "Holy, holy, holy." And the posts of the door, everybody say, the door. This isn't just any door. This is the door. The posts of the door were shaken. You see, what door is being talked about here? It is the entrance to the throne room of God. I fully believe that when we pray, "Your kingdom come," we actually underestimate what we're inviting into our life. We're underestimating the level of power, the level of glory, the reality of his kingdom in heaven into our very midst. We underestimate that when we begin to praise the Lord, when we begin to call on the kingdom of God, how many of you know, we underestimate that when we call on it, his kingdom really wants to come, that he really does want to move, that he wants to transcend the atmosphere between heaven and earth and allow the throne room of God to come right into our midst. Somebody say amen. So much so to the point where we share the same space. And even though we find ourselves in a room, even though we find ourselves in a house, because we are bringing our worship to the Lord, because we are responding in that atmosphere of worship, just like the atmosphere of worship that is heaven, our hearts are also going up. We're throwing our crowns. We're saying, Lord, none of this, it belongs to me. Everything is you. You are worthy. We're laying it all down. When the atmosphere on earth matches the atmosphere on heaven, they meet. To the point where we share the same space. Listen, this cannot be done in the physical. It's done in the spirit. Now, I'm so thankful because I've encountered both, where I've been in corporate gatherings and I've been in a church service and we were worshiping the Lord and we were so in worship, we were so in one accord. There was such an atmosphere and expectation. How many of you know that's important? We don't receive anything in the spirit if it's not by faith. And so there was this expectation that we were calling on the name of the Lord. We were giving him worship, that when we call on the name of the Lord, he will come into our midst. And I've encountered those moments where you're praising the Lord, you're singing to the Lord, and he comes, and it's powerful. And it changes the way you think. It changes the way you approach situations. The things that you brought in that were holding you down, weighing you down, discouraging you. How many of you know scripture says there's freedom in the presence of the Lord? And all those things that you brought in, all of it falls off and it dissolves in the power and in the glory, in the thundering, in the lightning of God Almighty. I've been there. It's powerful. It doesn't just happen. I said it doesn't just happen. Don't expect that you can just walk in and half-heartedly begin to sing to the Lord and that you're going to somehow enter into the kingdom of God. Like, we should never assume that. Can God do that? He can do that. But he's told us, no, when you pray, when you come, when you find yourself in this earthly room, when you say, Lord, hallowed be your name. He's given us the direction. He's giving us the instruction. I've encountered those moments, but I would say, and I would even argue, the most powerful moments of worship that I've ever encountered was when I closed the door in my room and I just began to worship. So much so that I actually was supernaturally healed by the Lord physically in that moment of worship. Where I began to worship the Lord, I put on a YouTube playlist, began to worship, and I knew I was right into his presence. I began to lift my voice. I began to declare who he is. And I heard the Lord, and I just sensed in my spirit, he was saying, lift your hands to me. And as I lifted them up, I felt as though oil was being poured into my hands and rolling down my hands, down my body, all the way through. Now, there was some concerns in my physical body that the doctors wanted me to address the next day. And when I got there, there was nothing there. Now, we can say that was an accident. We could say that was a misdiagnosis. But I felt the shaking, the power, the trembling of the power of God go through my body. Do you see? I believe that the Lord reveals himself powerfully in our corporate gatherings in ways that can only be experienced in a corporate gathering. And I believe that there are ways that God reveals himself that will only be expressed when we shut the door and we begin to worship. You need both. It's not one or the other. We want to know all of God. We want to receive all that he has for us. And there are things that he reserves until we do it his way, I want to look at an example of this out of Acts chapter 16. This is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. But I want to look at an example of this from Paul and Silas out of Acts 16, starting at verse 22. It says, then the multitude rose up together against them, against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates. They tore off their clothes and they commanded them to be beaten with rods. They were preaching the kingdom. They were preaching the gospel. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison. In other words, he didn't just put them in a room and lock the door. This was maximum security. I am throwing Saul and Paul and Silas into maximum security prison, to the deepest part of the inner prison. And he fastened their feet in stocks. Was this comfortable? I'm asking you, when your feet are in iron stocks, do you think that is comfortable? Right? I'm coaching football, and they gave us these like little bracelets, right, that talks about the focus of the year. And I put this bracelet on, and it's like this silicone thing, and I'm like, it irritates me. These are iron shackles, okay, on Paul and Silas. This was an uncomfortable moment. They had been beaten. They had been striped. They were obeying God, proclaiming the gospel. And they're thrown into the inner prison. They're put in stocks. It was uncomfortable. And in verse 25 says, but. Everybody say but. I love those but moments. When you're in your darkest hour, but something in you decided not to live in what you saw, but you started to worship the Lord. Where things, the news wasn't looking good, the diagnosis isn't great, but you look to Jesus. How many of you know we all need those but moments in our life? Amen? It says, but at midnight, in other words, at the darkest moment, at the darkest time of their life, Paul and Silas, notice, they were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. In other words, this wasn't under their breath. They're in the inner prison. They're in stocks. Now, I don't know about you, but there would be something in me that would say, God, I was doing what you told me to do. And here I am. Things don't seem to be working out so good. I'm in the inner prison. I would be probably complaining. Anybody else? And here they are, praying to the Lord, singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. In other words, they had turned this prison into a house of prayer and worship. Powerful. Verse 26 says, suddenly. Everybody say suddenly. There was a great earthquake. In other words, the place where they were gathered was shaken, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Notice that word again. It was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. How many of you know there's freedom in the presence of the Lord? And it doesn't just say Paul and Silas's chains were loosed. How many of you know it says everyone's chains were loosed? In other words, we can have such a powerful, intense atmosphere of worship here on earth that even those in bondage and shackled will come in and be set free. It says that they were all set loose. And so when we begin by giving him praise, what are we doing? We are aligning ourselves with what is happening in the throne room. And if we don't have the same atmosphere here on earth that is in the throne room, then we're not lined up with the doorposts of the throne of God. But when we lift our voice in worship, there is an alignment between us and whatever situation we are in and the throne room of God. And so with Paul and Silas's praise, they brought the posts and the doors of that prison into alignment with the posts and the doors of the throne room of God. And they weren't just on an earthly mountain, they were in a heavenly mountain. And all of a sudden, the power from that heavenly mountain began moving and moving from the throne of God, and it came right into their midst. Somebody say amen. And so from this throne room where the creator of the universe sits, it comes lightning and thunders and power from this throne. And when we come into an atmosphere like that, we begin to experience the power of that king. Amen? Power. Everybody say power. So when Jesus said to pray, he says, your kingdom come. How many of you know Jesus was being literal? This wasn't a figure of speech. He wasn't trying to write a stanza to make it sound good. Well, these go well together. Your kingdom come, your will be done. No, this was literal. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We begin with our worship. Your kingdom come. What are you saying? Lord, let that power and that rule and that reality come right now into my life. Come right now into this church. Come right now, Lord, into that bad diagnosis. Come right now, Lord, and let your righteous rule be established. Let everyone else be a liar, Lord. Let your word be true. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. You see, let me just tell you right now, and I'm just going to invite you to close your eyes, bow your heads. If you can align yourself and come and say, this is a holy God that we're talking to. This is our Father. He's not a genie in the bottle. He's not someone that we pull out when it's convenient or when we feel guilty. He's a holy God. We start and we say, hallowed be your name, Lord. Let's just begin to do that. Just begin to say, Lord, you are holy. Just tell him. Your worship isn't just a song. Your worship, though, is spoken. So, Lord, you are holy. There's none like you. You're wonderful. You are righteous. You are faithful. You just begin to call on who he is, and you declare who he is, what Scripture says about him. Let that be what your voice speaks about him. And then when we come to that moment, we say, now, Lord, your will be done. Your kingdom come. I invite your power, your glory, to come into my life. Lord, I think I know what I need, but Lord, you know exactly what I need. And it is only found in you. Let me just tell you right now, this is available to every believer. This is available to every person. In an instant, you can see the gap between the throne room of God and the place where you are on earth. You can see it closed. But we have to align ourselves. We have to align our heart. And we do that by worship and acknowledging, God, this is who you are. Lord, even if I don't feel it, Lord, this is who you say you are. And Lord, you are not a liar. Lord, I give you my worship. I give you my heart. We surrender all to you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we say, Lord, let this place, let this house be a house of your presence. Can we pray this together right now? Lord, let this house be a house of your presence. Lord, where we worship you in such a way, Lord, in such unity and in such accord. Lord, where your spirit moves freely, Lord. Lord, that there is such an atmosphere of worship, Lord, that it matches the atmosphere that is in heaven, Lord. And because those atmospheres are aligned, Lord, we say, your kingdom come. Lord, that the prisoners would be set free in this place, Lord Jesus. Lord, that those who are shackled by guilt and shame, Lord, that they would be set free in Jesus' name. Lord, for those who have sickness in their body, that it would shackle them no more, that that sickness would fall off their bodies, and Lord, that you would make them whole in Jesus' name. Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, over this church. Lord, we pray, Lord, over our lives, Lord, that you would be exalted, that you would be glorified. Teach us how to worship you, Lord. Teach us how to love you, Lord. Lord, worship isn't just a song, Lord. It is love for you. Teach us how to love you, how to walk with you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise and we give you glory. We've not come to the mountain that may be touched. But we come to the Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. We come to an innumerable company of angels. We come into that place of worship and we say, holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Can we stand together? Thank you, Lord. Lord, we give you this time. Lord, we thank you for your word. Just begin to thank him for his word today to you. Lord, let it be planted in good soil. Lord, that your word would bear much fruit, Lord, in our lives. Lord, much fruit in this church, Lord. That you would begin to water and to begin to bring increase, Lord, into our lives. Lord, more of you, less of us. More of you, Lord. And less of us. Lord, that you would be glorified, that you would be magnified. And Lord, that you would receive the glory that is due your name. Glorify your name in Jesus' name. We all said amen. 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 Can we thank the Lord for the word? Thank you, Lord, for your word. All right. Was that okay? Are we good? All right. Let me pray over our food because we're about to go enjoy some potluck food. Before you're dismissed, I'm going to ask the parents if you can go check out your kids so we can get that room set up and then we can get things going. We are going to have power. We have all of that available. I believe Susie is going to kind of give some direction as needed in that room. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that it is true food. Lord, that we do not live on bread alone, but by the word of God. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this food that we are going to eat. Lord, let it be nourishing to our bodies. Lord, we thank you for good health. We thank you for good fellowship. And Lord, we thank you for the peace and the joy that is set before us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, we love you guys. You're dismissed. If you need prayer, we have people up here to pray with you. Otherwise, we'll see you guys next week. God bless you.